Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoy this inspiring word from our pastor.
I want you to get on your feet and welcome Pastor Denny Duran.
Thank you so much. Oh, I am turned on. Okay. I tell you, I've looked so forward to this day. I just love coming hanging out here. You know, if I had my way, I'd just come and sit on the front row every Sunday right here with you. Maybe that day will come. I just so enjoy being in your presence. And when you talk in your declarations about culture-changing community, you are creating that. You are creating a culture that people want to be a part of. How many of you understand people just love to be loved? And when you walk into this place, there is the tangible feeling of the love of God and that you really love people. It's easy for people to feel at home in your midst, and that's just going to bring more and more folks that are hurting into your church. And I can tell you that being with Destiny, well, there's just no place in the world I'd rather be than with my baby girl. And she changed my life. The moment that they wrapped that little bundle and put in my arms, my heart was never the same. I was smitten, and that's only gotten more serious with the years, how I love my baby girl and thank God for her. And Philip, I can't say enough great things about Pastor Philip. Boy, I'll tell you, if I could have just written up all of the qualifications I wanted or a husband for my daughter, it wouldn't have been Philip. And I'll tell you why. Because he exceeded every one of them. Honestly, I would not have had faith to ask for Philip. And I just cannot tell you how much I love him and what he means to our whole family. Philip's an anchor for our whole family. We just adore him. And know that he's doing great, great work. And folks, let me just say, I've been a preacher for a long time. 47 years this year, 47 years I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've heard a lot of preachers. I've studied preaching. Preaching has been my craft, and so I've been a diligent student. And you do not understand, probably, to the fullest extent, that every time you come into this church, you hear two of the finest preachers that there are on the earth. And they just continually brag on you every time they get a chance. So good to be with my dear friend Garth Collier and his lovely family, and just so many of you that I see out there that I love so much. Let's stand, and we're going to get right into the Word of God. Many of you know we have a large family, and Deonza and I have just spent these years just going from place to place to be with our kids. We're so blessed today because all seven of our children are involved working in the Church of Jesus Christ, either in full-time ministry or as volunteers. And I can tell you that thrills me more than anyone, than anything. Some of you don't know our family well, and you say, wow, seven kids, you must really love kids. No, I really love my wife. But we're so thrilled to be here with you today. Amen. Now, today my subject is activating the exceeding abundantly above. How to add God's super to your natural. Activating the exceeding abundantly above. How to add God's super to your natural. Now, you ought to be happy that you came to this service, because I just set a Guinness Book of World Records for the longest title to a message. There it is. The book of Acts originally had no name. Isn't that interesting? It was written by Luke as a second volume to the gospel that bears his name. But the name Acts is the perfect name for this book, because it's a record of the supernatural acts of God through ordinary men and women just like you and me. God's desire this morning is to make all of us supernaturally empowered acts Christians. If that's what you want to be, put your hands together and let the Lord know. Now, this book could have been called the Book of Action. That would have still been a good name. But this morning, I want you to think of it as the Book of Activate. Activate. I remember the first time I got a credit card. I was so thrilled. How many of you men remember the first time you got a credit card? You see, nobody raised their hand. But how many of you ladies remember the first time you got a credit card? You see that? I mean, just thinking about it brings the presence of God, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, to get your first credit card. And I can remember getting it in the mail, and I knew exactly what my limit was of spending. I knew what my interest rate was, and I was ready to go. So I took that card, and I went to buy some merchandise. I mean, I was going to buy something, and I wanted to use my card to do it. So here I am, a young man, and I whip out that card, and I give it to them, and it's declined. And the lady looks at me and says, sir, you've got to, there you go, you've got to activate this card. Now, what you've got to understand is everything in the book of Acts already belongs to you. The power of the Holy Spirit, the miracles, the adventure, the provision of the cross, the empty tomb, the upper room. But you have to activate that power, provision, and purpose so that you can have access to what already belongs to you. Now, I've been a football coach for 40 years, and I believe in teaching fundamentals. Whether I'm on the football field with a 17-year-old quarterback, or I'm speaking in a corporate setting, or in a great church like this on Sunday morning, I want people to leave with tools that they can use. And so for a few minutes today, I want to give you some coaching tools, some points from the book of Acts on activating the exceeding abundantly above. How to add God's super to your natural. Now let's pray. Father, I pray that during the next few minutes, that everything that we have declared as our objective will take place, and even more than that. I pray that you will set our hearts afire in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Now, our springboard scripture to our study in Acts this morning is found in Ephesians 3 and 20. I had no idea that this is the theme scripture for your year here at North Point. How many of you understand that it's God who puts all these things together? Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Now, those of you who've already been believers for a while understand that this is one of your favorite scriptures. Wow, what a word this is to us as believers. The Bible literally says if you can ask it, God can exceed it. The Bible says if you can think it, God can exceed it. If you can dream it, God can exceed it. He can do, say it with me, exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. Now, that's great, isn't it? But we sometimes miss the most important part of the scripture, the activate part. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. But that last phrase is the key phrase, because it says, according to the power that works in you. Let's get right to the coaching point. God says He will exceed what you are able to ask, but you've got to ask. He will exceed what you're able to think, but you've got to think. He will exceed your dreams, but you've got to have a dream. God does nothing on the earth without partnering with somebody. And when God breaks into the earth realm in the supernatural, it has always been because someone has activated the supernatural by offering up the natural. Now, we activate the exceeding abundantly above power of God by being instant in prayer. By being instant in prayer. Now, turn with me, please, to Acts, the third chapter. That's where our first coaching point comes from. When you get there, say amen. Acts, the third chapter. I think it'll be on the screen. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know, it's possible that Peter and John had passed this man at the gate hundreds of times. In this part of the world, it is common for families to be beggars and for them to have been beggars for generations. When I was in India, I saw the sad fact that there were little children at the entrances of buildings and pavilions who were begging alms. And their legs were grotesque. And I asked the missionary, I said, "How does that happen?" He said, "Some of it's intentional." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "These people sometimes come from generations of beggars, and they actually will break the limb of a little infant and allow it to grow in a grotesque fashion so that that child will be more profitable and people will have pity on him when they go in and out of public areas." I don't know if that was the case. All I know is that this man was sitting at the same place he had sat for years. He may have known Peter and John by name. They may have known him by name. But this day, as they walked past, something was different. Peter and John were looking at this man through different lens. They had just come from being with the resurrected Lord and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice, they didn't say, "We're going to be praying for you," or "We're going to add you to the church prayer list," or "We're going to have our small group remember you in prayer next Tuesday." They were instant in prayer. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, instant in prayer. Peter and John instantly took the man's hand and prayed, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." It wasn't a long prayer. It wasn't a polished prayer. It wasn't an impressive prayer. It was short. It was to the point. But at that moment, that 5-second prayer activated God's exceeding abundantly above. God added his super to their natural, and the lame man stood up on his feet. And for the first time in his life, he began to walk and leap and praise God. My first coaching point is simple. Be instant in prayer. Be instant in prayer. Some of you so desperately want to be used of God. How many of you would like to see the power of God work through your ordinary hands? Honestly. How many of you would like to do something that changes somebody's life? I want you to say this phrase with me. May I pray for you right now? One more time, everybody. You see, when you meet somebody that has a great need, no matter how great, you don't need to defer the moment of God's visitation. Right now, in Madagascar, they're seeing undeniable miracles. They recently, this week, they went to a school for deaf children. You know that they saw 4 children completely healed. Now, there were many children that were not healed. But how many of you understand that's up to God? They are seeing blind eyes open. But there are many whose eyes are not open. They are seeing people get up from wheelchairs and walk. But there are many who are still in the wheelchairs. You say, "What are you saying, Pastor?" Well, someone asked, "Well, why don't we see miracles like that in America? Why is this always on a missions trip?" Well, let me ask you this. How many blind people you prayed for lately? How many deaf people have you prayed for lately? How many people have you tried to get up out of a wheelchair? You see, the fact is, we don't pray in this country in an instant manner the way that those missionaries are praying right now. These young people from this church, they're on the other side of the world. They're never going to see these people again. They don't have to run into them at school or where they work or on the streets of Bossier. They are on the other side of the world praying for people. They are bold as lions. They're walking right up to people and saying, "In the name of Jesus, I want to pray for you that God will heal you of blindness." And now it's happening. All I want to say to you is this. You have got to give God something that he can attach his super to. You have got to give God something that he can exceed. Unless you are willing to ask, he can't exceed it. Unless you are willing to pray, he can't exceed it. But when you dare to say, "May I," come on, say it with me, "May I pray for you right now," there is an opportunity there. You don't know that it will happen. We don't even know what the percentage is. Maybe it's 50% that God's going to heal that person. Maybe it's 40%. Maybe it's 2%. But I can tell you, it'll be 100% that he will not do it if you do not give him something to attach his exceeding abundantly above to. But when you do, God will come through and you will begin to see the miraculous flow through your life. Rick Berlin and I, who's my lifelong friend, walking out of a restaurant in Shreveport, and we ran into a buddy of ours, well-known man in Shreveport. In fact, he's got his name on a building. And he was just pretty down. We could tell when he walked up, he wasn't his usual jovial self. Catholic man who we had gotten to know and love through the years, an old football player. Even before I played 100 years ago, back at Northwestern, he was a player. And We said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "Not good, Denny, not good." And tears came to his eyes and his chin began to quiver. I said, "What's up?" He said, "Stage 4 cancer." I just got back from the doctor for my final checkup. The report, he said, "It's not good." He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, well, let me tell you something, George. Rick and I pray for people. Sometimes they get well. I said, "May we?" May we pray for you right now? Let me tell you something. A man who's just had a report that he's got stage 4 cancer is ready for you to pray for him right now. We took his hand and said, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you will heal him. We curse this cancer at its roots. We pray, oh God, that you will make him whole." It was short. It was not a great, flowery, impressive prayer. Nobody shook. Nobody fell down. It was just a moment to allow God, if he saw fit, to have a contact point on the earth to attach his exceeding abundantly above. Got a text the next Friday. "Denny, it's George. Tell those people over there at your church that Jesus Christ is still a healer. I'm cancer free." You say, "Man, I would love to have..." You will. "Man, if I just only could have a testimony..." You can. "Man, if I could just see..." You will. But you have got to give God something to attach his exceeding abundantly above to. You've got to begin to live a lifestyle wherever you go of, "May I..." Come on. It doesn't matter if you're 2 weeks old in Jesus or you've been living for the Lord for 40 years. "May I say to you, I am right now walking in more miracles, in more signs and wonders, and with greater effectiveness reaching people for Christ than I have in many years because of this simple little coaching principle that God has put in my heart." God says to you, you don't have to be so spiritual that when you walk by your shadow heals folks. You don't have to be so knowledgeable that you are a walking Bible. You do not have to be so experienced that people admire the depth and breadth of your walk in Christ. All you have to do is to be willing to give me a chance, because the holdup is not with God. The holdup is with us. And when we begin to release him, he is going to come in great power to Bossier City, Louisiana, and Benton, Louisiana, and Houghton, Louisiana, and things are going to begin to change through your life. Be instant in prayer. There was a businessman who I'd known here in the city, and he got a new job selling suits. And he called me and said, "Pastor, I've waited on you a few times through the years. And I got a new gig here. I'm selling suits." So they're really good suits, and they're not expensive, and yet they have great colors, and I'd like to show you my line. I said, "I'm not going to reward this body with a new suit." I said, "I need to lose 20 or 30 pounds, and I maybe..." He said, "Oh, Pastor, can I just please come over and show you?" I said, "Well, I'm not in a position to buy a suit." I said, "I'm not really." He said, "Oh, Pastor, but can I just..." I said, "Okay, well, come on over." I said, "Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, I'll meet you. Bring your stuff. I'd like to see all your stuff." And so he came to the office, and we went upstairs, and he opened all his portfolios. A very, very impressive presentation. I know he'd just gotten the job. He probably wanted to practice. You know, it was a good opportunity to at least practice. He really wasn't going to sell anything. And he said, "Pastor, now this is our line that comes from Italy, and we have this silk, this Italian silk." I said, "Can you just feel that record?" "Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's, yeah. Italian silk, you say. Yeah. Now, I want you just to feel the difference, Pastor. Over here, we've got this silk from Barcelona. It's Barcelona silk. Okay. Love that. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. And he said, let me show you our collars. And so I look at the collars. And, oh, these shirts are fantastic. You got to see these prints, these shirts. This looks like you, Pastor. It looks like you. I was kind of insulted by what he said. It looked like me, but, you know, we let that go. And he finished his presentation. He said, now, what can I do for you today? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're going to buy a suit for me or a shirt for me? I said, I told you, I said, I'm not buying anything. I said, I love you. I said, look, when I get into a little bit better position, maybe I'll buy something from you or, a little later, but I'm not ordering anything. He said, okay, well, that's fine. He started packing up all of his stuff, and I turned to him and I said, but this is what I want to know. Is there anything that I can pray for you about right now? He said, well, Pastor, he said, I'm glad you asked. He said, my wife has just gone through cancer recovery and said all of the chemo and everything that she endured in treatment has just left her in such pain. Said she's in pain 24/7, Pastor, has to take so many drugs just to be able to make it through the day and to sleep at night. I said, well, may I? I took his hand. And we begin to pray for her. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that she will have no pain in her body. Now remember this, when you pray for people, always pray ideal. Don't pray for something you think will make it easy on God. Some people pray prayers as not to overburden him. Father, if you see fit to do this, and we know that you have so many people in line in front of us, and Lord, there are the poor, and there are the refugees, and there are others, and they're calling out on you. So if you see fit to answer their prayers first, to put ours off, that's okay, Jesus. What we really want is just you to do whatever you can do. If you can ever just make it a little better. Folks, please, you got to understand this. You are not dealing with somebody who has capacities. You're not dealing with somebody who has limitations. I mean, you either believe in a God or you don't. If you're going to believe in God, believe that he can do it all, that he doesn't have to pick and choose. Believe that when you pray, you have what you pray for. Believe that you're not going to overburden him. You're not complimenting him by letting him off the hook. He is the great I am. He created it all. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. And when you pray, you need to believe that he is going to come through. Don't walk into a hospital room where someone's suffering with cancer and pray that God will ease their pain or make their journey to heaven more acceptable. Pray that God will get them out of that bed. You say, what if God doesn't do it? Then they'll go to heaven. But what if God does do it? They'll get out of that bed and maybe their whole family will get saved as a result of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Those of you who haven't heard me before, I'm not telling you off. I'm telling the devil off up here. I have a fellow that owns a store near to where I live, Otto's, down on the lake. If you ever get a chance to go by Otto's to meet Hassan, go meet Hassan. He is amazing. Hassan is the man. He is wonderful. I love him. Hassan comes from Lebanon. Lebanese, his precious wife is Muslim, and his children are being raised in the Muslim faith. His mother and father helped to build a mosque in Dearborn, Michigan. And Hassan was nothing, because nothing ever made sense to Hassan. And I met this guy, and he's just enthusiastic. He was an athlete up in Michigan. He was a football player back in his youth. And he's all energy, all fast twitch muscle fiber, moving 90 miles an hour wherever he goes. He stays up to 2 a.m. rearranging his little store from time to time, making it more acceptable and attractive. I've never quite been around anybody with that kind of motor. He always is running full blast. And so I formed a fast friendship with him. So I dropped by and see him, and he just fell in love with me as kind of a father figure. So when I would walk in, man, he had free coffee for me, and he would stop what he was doing if he had a chance and visit with me. And so right up front, as God began to teach me this revelation that is so simple of, may I pray for you right now? I said, Hassan, what can I pray for you about? What's going on? Yeah, everything's good, you know. He's a positive guy. He said, yeah, business could be better. I said, may I pray for you? He said, sure, sure. And he didn't know quite what to do with his hands at the first time. You know, he's just, you know, and I'm right in the middle of the store, so it's a little uncomfortable. And he's kind of looking over and, you know, and but he submitted to prayer. I prayed, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, this business will explode. Hallelujah. Always pray, what's ideal? We're talking to God. We're not talking to men. Lord, explode this business in Jesus' name. I pray it'll be amazing, God. Double it, quadruple it. And after we finished, he said, oh, it was good. That was good. I never, ever have gotten the chance to go to that store since that time. That was 6 months ago, that he hasn't demanded that we pray before I leave. Never. We have prayed with innocent bystanders who just walk in. They are not expecting a prayer meeting. Hassan gets them in the prayer meeting. Hey, sir, come, we'll pray. Pastor Denny here. We're praying. Pastor Denny, pray for him. This guy's just standing there. I'll never forget one man so uncomfortable, especially when we held hands. Because here we are, three grown men holding hands. He was kind of a burly fellow. We held hands, and he kept his eye on us the whole time we prayed. He said, hey, Pastor Denny, tell me about God. You need to talk to me about God. I believe in everybody's God. I believe all gods are the same, and just everybody who believes, that's okay. That's what I believe. Is that what you believe, Pastor? You're going to do? I said, you're not ready to talk to me about anything yet. He said, why? I said, I'm going to just give you one prayer to pray. Will you pray a prayer if I give it to you? He said, yeah, I'll do it. I said, pray this prayer. God, reveal yourself to me. I said, that's all I want you to pray. God, reveal yourself to me. I said, will you pray that prayer, son? He said, yes, I will, Pastor Denny. I'll pray that prayer. And so I would come in. Pastor Denny, you ready to talk to me about God? I said, no, you're not ready yet, Hassan, to talk to me about God. Are you praying your prayer? Yes, praying my prayer. I walked in one day. Folks, let me just tell you something. In that little bitty grocery, I've never seen it like that. I've lived there for years. Never seen it like that. The line was from the cash register out the door. And I walked in, and I started laughing. And I said, oh, look at the business. Hassan is behind the cash register at the front of that long line. He goes, well, yeah, Pastor Denny prayed in the name of Jesus, and look at my business. He said, I think I'm ready for a Bible. Can you give me a Bible? I said, sure, I'll give it to you. I went right home because I didn't know if I'd get another chance like that. And I brought him a Bible that hadn't even been opened. It was still in the cellophane. Handed it to him. He said, thank you. I'm going to read it, but he didn't. He put it in a shelf back in the kitchen prep area. And that's where he kept it. But on Easter Sunday morning, when I gave the invitation, I had no idea that Hassan was there until at the invitation for salvation, I looked and there was a weeping man who had his head bowed over to the left. It was Hassan, and he had come to give his life to Jesus. You see, God had answered his prayer. He had revealed himself to Hassan. He was there to give his life to Jesus. I walked in the next day. And when I walked into the store the next day, he said, "Pastor Denny, I'm ready to read the Bible now." I said, "Great." He said, "I'm going to get it." And so I followed him back into the kitchen prep area, and we're standing there among the fryers and the battered fish. And there's a little shelf there, and it's right where he put it when I brought it to him many months earlier. And he reached up and took it. He removed the cellophane, and he handed it to me. He said, "Will you tell me where to start reading?" I said, "You're going to start in the book of John." He said, no, "Pastor Denny, look at me. You didn't give me that book. You gave me the Bible." I said, "No." I said, "Hassan, this is the deal." I said, "It's divided up into different books." And I said, "The book of John is where I want you to start." I will never forget the joy that filled my heart when I saw a text that had been sent me about 1 a.m. Hassan read the book of John through twice so quickly you couldn't believe it. And he texts me, and this is what he texts me. He said, "Pastor Denny, I never understood why you wouldn't talk to me about God. But you knew from my background that it had to be my own journey." He said, "And all of the time, Pastor Denny, you knew it was right here in John 3:16, 17, and 18. As I looked at that, I was so overjoyed with that miracle. Say, "Oh, I'd love to have something like that happen to me. I wish I had your gift." Pastor Denny, it wasn't a gift. It was a prayer. It wasn't charisma. It was a prayer. All it was, "Oh God, I pray that you will bless this man's business. Bless Hassan's business." I want to say something to you. If you get a hold of this, in 6 months, you will have a book of miracles that will astound you. Because people are just waiting for somebody to reach out, and God is waiting for someone to just give him anything that he can attach his supernatural, exceeding, abundantly above anointing to. Hallelujah. I look at this congregation and my precious girl who's preaching the gospel, and Lucas standing up here so boldly for Jesus, totally committed to the Church of Jesus Christ, and D-Rod and Sarah are holding down the fort at Shreveport Community Church today, Phillips in Madagascar, and Rich Wilkerson, my other son-in-law, is in South Africa. Dawn Cherie is holding down the fort at their church at the VU in Miami, and got her little brother on staff with her, Dakota. He's in South Africa with Rich. And David D, he's the head of the parking lot team in Miami. And Dez is serving his church in New York City. And I think all of this started with two little ladies who went to a little illiterate French lady who didn't believe anything they said. But they went to the door on a special day when she had run into a crisis. She had two internal cancerous tumors that were going to take her life. And these two precious little ladies that came to the door of my grandmother said, "May we And they invited her to come to church that night. And it was there that night where the power of God touched her. And this little illiterate French lady who could not read or write, who spoke very little English, who understood nothing of what was happening in that Holy Ghost Church because it was the first time she had ever been to any kind of religious service outside the Catholic Church. Met Jesus. And when she met Jesus face to face, she was instantly, to the doctor's documentation, healed of all cancer. She was born again and filled with the Spirit by the time she hit the floor under the power of God. She didn't even know what was happening to her. She hadn't been preconditioned. She hadn't watched TBN on television. She knew nothing that was going on with her. It was like the Apostle Paul having a Damascus Road experience. But she had that experience. For some reason, she began to duplicate what those women had done for her. You could not be in the presence of my grandmother that she did not pray for you. I never remember leaving her presence that she didn't pray. I never remember talking to her on the phone that she didn't pray. Folks, let me ask you this. Isn't this what we were put on the earth to do? Isn't this why we are here? Some of you have such a tough time getting started telling anybody about Jesus. I can relate. It's tough for me too. How many of you understand that you labor under that sometime, don't you? And I mean, there are questions. I mean, do we just get right in people's space? Do we just interrupt them in mid-sentence? How do you turn the conversation? Do you come up with neat one-liners? Boy, those are beautiful shoes. You walked on the King's Highway. Oh, I see you're enjoying your shrimp. Do you know that there is a living bread? Oh, I see you drinking Coca-Cola. Have you tried the living water? I mean, you know, what do you do? You know, I'm not saying any of that stuff. Neither are you. You know, we don't want to be hokey. We want to be real. We want to share. But what do? Let me tell you what you do. When somebody surfaces a need, all you do is say to them, "May I?" Because in that moment, you're not telling them about God. You've just connected them to the presence of God. My little grandmother could cook, boy. She could cook. See, the fact is, when you're Cajun and you can't cook, you are a handicapped individual. When she walked into the kitchen, she was the master of the kitchen. Believe me. She could do it like nobody else. And if she came into your house and you were cooking, she could tell by what she smelled whether or not you were doing it right. Esha, can Grandma help you with that gravy? And by the time she moved into the kitchen, everybody all just get out of the way. Because this is what Grandma did. This is what she did. Oh, just give me those pots and give me those pans. She knew exactly where to put them and what kind of heat to put under them. She never had a recipe, but she was going to take just the right amount of salt and the right amount of pepper and the right amount of seasoning and the right amount of cayenne. She was going to cook that roux until it was the right color, and she was going to move and shake in that kitchen. I'm telling you, Grandma could cook, and when she came in the kitchen, you understood that this is what she did. This is what she was best at. I just came here to tell you this morning that it's time that we got in the kitchen, because this is what we were born to do. God made us to change the world, and some of us are desperate for God to use us. We need to get in the kitchen and understand that we were put on the earth to change the earth, that society is no match for us, that the world, the flesh, and the devil have to back up. We were born to cook. Let's get in the kitchen. Let's make a difference. Let's see God move. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. If you know that's the truth, remain standing all over this place. Remain standing all over this place, please. This is God's moment with you. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and shut yourselves away with God for a moment. You'll say, Pastor Danny, honestly, up until this moment today, I have not been willing to surrender my whole life to Jesus. Well, she'll say, if I can make a difference like that, if I can have that kind of reality in my life, on this day, where I am with nobody pushing me, I want to declare my intention to serve Jesus Christ with all of my heart. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand if that's you, because this is the day. One, two, three. Lift your hand all over this place. If you'll say, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. Yes. As your hands are lifted, I want everyone to lift their hands all over this place. Everyone. Everyone. And I want everybody in this place to pray this prayer after me. Jesus Christ, today I'm yours. I'm so exhilarated by the possibilities of life right now. And I'm ready for my life to count. I'm tired of living for myself. It's so empty. And I am ready to live for you. I'm ready for you to work and for you to move in me in a brand new way. In Jesus' name, give the Lord praise, because God heard our prayer. He heard our prayer. Now I'm going to ask you to look right here one more time. We're at the end now. May I pray for you right now? May I pray for you right now? I'm going to ask, if you have a disease or you're sick in your body, if you need healing, I'm going to pray what's ideal. I'm going to pray that God heals you totally. Then I want you to step out, and I want you to come and stand right here in the front of this place. Would you do that? If you need healing for your body, would you please come? If you need to stand in for someone who's very precious to you, they need healing, I want you to come. There was a man in the first service that came to me, and he said, 6 years ago, he said, I met you. And he said, I told you that my wife was very ill, that she had a disease that the doctors could not help her with. And said, we established a point of contact and prayed. He said, I've come today to tell you, Pastor, that 6 years later, she is still completely well. You say, do we have a guarantee that God will do it now? Well, we have a guarantee that if we don't ask, He won't. So we're going to ask, amen? And we're going to ask largely of Him. Right now, if you need a miracle in your marriage, if your children need a miracle, those are the things that are closest to our heart. I want you to step out, and I want you to come and stand right here. This is a big day in the kingdom of God. I said, this is a big, big day in the kingdom of God. Come and stand right here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to pray what is ideal. Say, how do I do that? You just pray what is ideal. If you're sick, for instance, I want you to pray that you're not going to be sick anymore, ever again. If you have a condition that has bothered you for 20 years, then I'm going to pray that, I want you to pray that you will not have that condition another day or another moment. Is that not ideal? Come on. We're not going to make it easier on the God who created the universe. He wants us to ask largely of Him. Amen? And if your child is astray and you're worried about that child, or the child is sick, then I want you to pray, God, I pray that my child will be in this church serving you enthusiastically with a pure heart. I pray that my boy will be free of drug addiction. He will no longer love that drug, but he will love you. Come on. How many of you know we're going to pray ideal? I said we're going to pray ideal in the name of Jesus right now. So right now, you take time to do that.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.